No, man. I've already done this. The coffee officer was down now. The two months first, sent for the company officer. We all talked and they wondered what to do. Talked about this, and I said, well, if they'd been shot at, they'll not move. I said, no, we're talking about them for ages. So they didn't. 2 hours, the company officer said, I'll come back in 2 hours. He came back, still nothing, no sign of it. So he said, now we'll send some bombs over, and some machine gun firing to no man's land. He said, that would be a distraction and give them a chance to move out wherever if they're trapped anyway. And so he did that. Well, you know, in those days, once you start at this point, it's along the line all the time, so the front was in a flare up in no time at all. So then we waited and waited, and quite true, they came back. But Lones was being hauled back on his face, or both face down, and he'd been shot in the arse. I worried about this. And I took Ben's gun. See, I thought, well, I'd get him. I'm keeping clear now. But no, I had no doubt at all about what Ben had been up to. I was wrong, I might tell you. I was wrong. I was. Because when Ben came in, I said, give me a Ben. He was on the top of the trench. Give me a rifle, Ben. I said, yes. So I took his rifle, gave him mine, you see, when he got down. And I examined his rifle when I got in, and it was clean. Well, then the next morning, I said, well, you were having a good time, Ben? Yes. I said, I think we must have got our rifles changed last night. He said, oh no, yeah. I said, who's in this? He said, why, this belongs to Sergeant Jones, this rifle. So I'm nonplussed about this. I said, where's your rifle? He said, well, it's just there. He went, oh, brought it and brought it. Deliberately showed it to me, you see. Bright as anything, hadn't been fired out of it. I said, whose equipment did you bring in? He said, I had to bring in Jones's equipment. Remember, he couldn't come. I picked up Jones's rifle, you see, thinking it was Ben's. Now, Ben, I'd try to give it to him, you know. He cleaned it, I couldn't be sure. Well, now, I said to Ben, you didn't have a bad time after all with Long, that's not it, did you? I said something about, well, I hope that everything was done and said was for the best. And he said, in his old manner, you know, it was, you see. I said, oh, good hell, Ben. And that was it. But I think the other two said no. I got the other two. No, it's from the German shop that came across the castle. And they got the Jones up at the first shot. It missed him. He jumped up. He jumped up instead of lying flat. And he shot him in the behind. The officer, when he was making the report, said, shot in buttocks. He said in the arse, sir. Vulgar, very vulgar, the officer. And Belcher said, sir, Sergeant Jones is a vulgar man. Was he killed, did he ever?
No, no.
He was just shot in the behind.
Yeah. Just to tell the tale, eh?
Oh, yes. He wasn't with us long. He went back to England. He wore a bandage, I suppose. I don't know what he could see it. Oh, yeah. But I was assured by these two other boys that it was really the German shots that had got him. Ben was a great bassist. Well, we've got now another half hour.
I'll start going in a minute. But anyway, you carry on for a few minutes anyway. This is
Banker. And now we go up to the Canadian. They took Benedict in that, but they didn't go beyond the Benedict. And we were told to go and consolidate. Well, now there's a difficulty of this consolidating because they can see a digging trenches and they try to send the shells over and shoot them, I don't know why. And this was in April, I think. And it was snowing and sleet and rain and everything else. And we advanced in rushes, sectional rushes. You know the whole kind. Now, with that business, you're scattered all over the place, you see, the sectional rushes business. And the order came to dig in. And we began to dig in. And what we got our entire trenching to, you know the entrance trenching. What do we have that now? It was that old thing. It was with a sharp end up this end and a handle. And we had to lie down in the dirt and mud, in shallows, with the rain and the snow and the sleet. And we had to form a trench of some sort, some protection for that. And we did that. And then came night and we had to post sentries out. No. We had to have sentries. We didn't post them out. And I called for Belcher. And Belcher wasn't about. Oh, I thought, well, he'd been hurt or something. Now we came. We went through the night and Belcher came rushing to me the next morning from the front, from towards the end. And he and this Baisley, this power base, had been lying on the ground all night in the front. And he said, "Sergeant, Baisley's got a hole in his back. He can't move." Oh, to think that he'd been lying there all night. Well, I just could only say, well, let's get the stretcher out so that we can handle it. Set him down. And we got them up, brought the laddie, and he was out of the way. He could have been court-martialed for that, you see. And I have to say to him, you know very well, Belcher, you cannot leave the front line. Whatever it is, you've got to do what you're ordered to, and that is to dig in, get the trench set, nothing else. If you don't, then it's a court-martial for you. And that happened. Now, what can you do? I did nothing. No, I did nothing. You see, because one little thing I left out of my earlier time, When we were young, say 15, 16, we used to walk 5 miles to play football, to play rugby. We didn't mind, we loved football. And the game was to win if we could, but never let your pal down. Never let your pals down. And although we've been on Drunkard Station many times, we've murdered Nelly Dean on Drunkard Station scores of times. But that is a spirit we were brought up in. We couldn't do anything. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the actions you're talking about, this happened on the 23rd of December, 1916. 23rd of December 1916. That's the day of the fog. Jimmy and I were at the Porsche. It was a stand to, and with the Germans being on the east side, the light came up on that side first, and we always had the advantage of seeing anything moving. And as the light developed, or came better, then we realised that there was a German standing on the trench. Now Jimmy put his rifle forward, and I said, "Hey, wait a minute, you know, something's happening there." So we waited a bit longer, and the light was good enough, very clear. It was a German just standing on the trench. Now we could see that the bottom of his legs were all mud, and he can't put this light out. So I jumped onto the top of our trench and threw my helmet down because there was a mark on it. And I just started to, a little bit of a quiver down my spine, but I started to walk back into along the top of our trench. And in no time at all I saw a human head pop up there. And our boys, and their heads. And then again, the next thing is a captain who could speak German brought a bottle of rum with a revolver in his pocket into No Man's Land, and wanted them to come over and have a drink. And they wouldn't. Or this man, this German, wouldn't. In a way, I was glad he didn't. Because I know this captain would have shot him or taken him prisoner. As it was, he threw some cigarettes to me, and I threw him some, I think the name was O.R.O., we call them horrors, they were terrible things. And I threw him a packet of them magazine, and Ben said, "Oh, worse than throwing him a bomb." And the German motioned to me that he's going down, Now that was on the 23rd of December. 1916. I don't know just where it was, but I know this much. The records are looped up. Wherever the 1st Battalion of Cheshire Regiment was, on the 23rd of December, that's where I did that. Oh, the boys, you know, they all looked at me and started to grin afterwards, and I thought, well, this is just something, you know, we did when we were kids, and he's a little hero for a while, and that's stupid. Well, that really happened. And Jimmy was there, and he said, "I had that gem on my sights." He said, "I never let him out of my sights." He said, "He was going to pay for your life," Jimmy said. Now, Jimmy wrote me a letter about this later on after the war was over, describing it all as I had said. I'm sorry, I burned that letter. So sorry.
Now, Mr. Rogers, you've told me an awful lot about action and so on, but you've glossed over the more unpleasant sides of routine life in the trenches. You haven't said much about the life and the mud and lack of sleep and the appalling living conditions. Now, is this because the sort of the passage of time has dimmed your memory? After all, we tend to forget the worst things and remember the more interesting things, or is it because it was so bad that your mind doesn't really want to think about them?
Well, my reminiscences were written in book form 40 years ago, but the book wasn't a success. And in the pages of what I've got, you'll find some cut out. They're referring to the story, you see, which I tried to wrap about my hometown. And I dealt really with the battles rather than the outstanding things, rather than the mundane happenings that you're talking about.
But how did you find these? Because you come from a very good family, good environment, you and the found them terribly difficult to tolerate, the lack of bath and ever-present lice and that sort of thing.
Yes, well, it's very It's just something that had to be born, and we just did it. But they got me in the end. Because I left Passchendaele with trench fever, what they call trench fever, natural disease. Mm. And that, they rushed me to England, and I had to go back again.
You weren't sorry either, I'm
sure.
Natural
disease, yeah. Yeah. Mm. But that was Ypres and Passchendaele. Now we come to this sphere. There we found that the Germans were using artillery more, the howitzers. And these howitzers used to go plump at the back of from their reaction. And I suppose it was way up and then come down. Monotonous shelling all the time. That was dreadful. Because we had a lot of casualties with it. And it was Dickens of a job to get the wounded away. The dead we had to bury. And the dead were buried today, the shells turned them over tomorrow, and blew them to pieces, and they were missing, believe, killed, you see. Getting men away. In the trenches themselves, you put a man on a stretcher, you probably get four men helping to get one man away. And in the mud, nearly up to the knees, you know, you get uneven standing and sticking in and loading in there. But to everyone who was on that stretcher, it sounded like a luxury group. He was going out of it. That was the thing. I went one morning, early morning, I went along the trench, and a fellow named Bill Leach was supposed to be on the post there, and I went to him. He was like this, and the trench was narrow, and he had his feet across and his arms like that. I went to him and I was shooting.
He was sort of sitting with his hands in his hair and chin in his hands across the tent.
Yeah. And his head had been across the table. And I shook him, and it seemed as if it couldn't have been long since, because the blood was fluid. I felt just like fluid in the jaw. Queer. Bill Leeds had that.
Marvellous story, yeah, Mr. Rogers.
I came from that, all the bits and pieces which you read about. And I know I could feel myself when I was coming back. I couldn't balance myself somehow. I had to get help to come down, to go back from down the line. And they found that I had got trench fever. So they whipped me off very quickly. After that I was sent to Chelsea Barracks to train as an instructor. But here again, it was still square bashing. Just square bashing.
You never told me how you took the square bashing. Did it worry you at all?
No,
the discipline, it doesn't worry you. Yeah.
By the mentality. I could joke with his friends and sort of thing.
What was the funniest moment that you can think of? If there is a particularly funny moment. Mm.
I don't know of anything funny to me. But what I did may have been funny to other folks.
I think on that note, I think I'll let you get to bed. I'm most grateful to you for
very
interesting chat.
I think you're doing a very good thing to do this.
nice of you to say so.
The other thing that I'm glad to see you. We're not articulate enough. We're not doing enough for ourselves. So leaving it to the unreal rather than the real.
Yes, I know what you mean. Set yourself